Play Store. Then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Stacy Lynn. An American couple working as missionaries in Haiti were killed by gang members, our Manuel Bohorquez reports.
The organization said the Lloyds were leaving one of their churches when they were ambushed by a gang of three trucks full of guys and taken to a house where Davy was, quote, tied up and beat. Another gang showed up and gunfire erupted.
Davy, Nally, and Jude barricaded themselves in our home down there, but then the gangs just started shooting up the place, eventually busted the door down and went in and shot them and killed them.
That's Davy Lloyd's father, David. Brian Hagerich, the American tourist who was arrested in the Turks and Caicos for possessing ammunition, is now back home.
You know, as a father, as a husband, to be reunited finally after 101 days, it is, I feel like the weight of the world has been lifted off my shoulders.
He could have gotten 12 years in prison, but the judge gave him a suspended sentence and a fine instead. Federal prosecutors are asking a judge to issue another gag order on Donald Trump. Here's CBS's Peter King.
Trump claimed federal agents were ready to take him out when they searched his Mar-a-Lago estate, referring to a standard use of force policy which discourages it whenever possible. Prosecutors say Trump has exposed law enforcement officers to the risk of threats and violence. They've asked the judge to tell Trump to stop. The Trump campaign says it's a free speech issue, and there's no word on when the judge may rule.
Older people might want to think twice about taking CBD.
A number of studies have found a steady rise in emergency room visits for those 65 and older who have taken CBD products. Dr. Barbara Krantz says just because they're over the counter doesn't mean they're safe.
And actually, you don't know what's in it.
Dr. Krantz says these CBD products are not FDA controlled.
A lot of people are on blood thinners, high blood pressure medicine, diabetes.
And that, she says, could lead to dangerous drug interactions. Linda Kenyon, CBS News.
CBS's MTS Tayeb tells us the humanitarian crisis in Gaza is getting worse.
U.S. officials admit the $320 million floating pier is not operating as planned. According to CENTCOM, just 70 truckloads of aid have been delivered in the last week.
An adjunct professor was fired from DePaul University. Dr. Anne DeQuino taught health and gave her students an optional assignment to explore the biological and health impacts Israel's war in Gaza has had on Palestinians. The very next day, the school said they received a lot of student complaints about feeling unsafe inside the classroom, and she was terminated. DeQuino says she's filed an appeal and believes it violates her academic freedom. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Today, sunshine, low 70s and a bit breezy out of the west. Mostly cloudy tonight, a low around 51. Showers on Sunday, could be some heavy rain with highs in the mid-60s. It'll be blustery. For Sunday night, showers in 49. For Memorial Day, partly sunny and a high of 67.
Right now, it's 44.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news talk and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Welcome to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small, your source for the latest hunting and fishing information. Brought to you by LakeLink, your online fishing resource at lake-link.com.
Outdoors Radio is also brought to you by Professional Hearing Care, LLC of Mauston, La Crosse, Westby, and Fitchburg. ProfHearingCare.com. By the Castle Rock Beaton Well Lakes Association, 60 square miles of fun on the water, CastleRock-BeatonWell.com. And by Woodside Ranch Resort and Conference Center, WoodsideRanch.com. I'm Dan Small. Today, a Lake Michigan report and the backstory of the mythical jackalope. All that and more coming up on Outdoors Radio, so stay right there. If you're ever in a motor vehicle accident, call Hupe and Abraham, named Best Personal Injury Law Firm by the Wisconsin Law Journal year after year. The firm of Hupe and Abraham has collected more than $1 billion for its clients. In fact, they collect millions of dollars every month for hundreds of satisfied clients. Call the firm voted best and rated best, Hupe and Abraham, 800-800-5678, or visit hupe.com. And all 11 offices of Hupe and Abraham in Wisconsin, Iowa, and Illinois are open for business. Well, joining me from Red Wing, Minnesota this time, Jeff Kelm on the road again. Jeff, you're at another tournament. This is a walleye event, right?
This is National Walleye Tour on the Mississippi River. We're just north of Red Wing at Treasure Island Casino.
All right. I have fished there at Red Wing, actually below the dam, so I guess you're above the dam, right?
Yeah, we're just above Lock and Dam number 3. Most of our anglers are fishing down in Lake Pepin and Pool 4.
Okay. Two memorable events from a trip there about a decade ago. One was our engineer, Chris Michalski, and I know you know him. He's looking at his phone, and he said, "No, we got about a half hour. There's a storm coming." And then he told us, "We got to go." And we hit the beach just as the big drops were falling, thanks to his radar app on the cell phone.
I have worked with Chris long enough to understand completely why he was looking at it. And I'll tell you what, you know, a lot of folks don't know the TV world or anything like that. You got a lot of equipment there. You don't want wet.
Right. Right.
When it's time to go, when the guys holding the gear say it's time to go, it's time to go.
Absolutely. The other event, I was fishing at the head of Lake Pepin, I believe it was, hooked what I thought was a big walleye, and the guide said, "Meow," and pretty soon I landed about a 25-pound flathead. And when I went to release it, we took pictures and video, and it clamped down on my thumb, and I was leaning over the gunwale, and I would have gone with it, except Chris and the guide grabbed me by the belt and pulled me back into the boat.
Yeah, there's some big catfish out here. We've had anglers catch bass, catfish, pike, sturgeon, all kinds of stuff out here this week.
Uh-huh. Well, I have those fond memories from Red Wing. But anyway, how is the fishing? How's the tournament going?
They've had a lot of water in this system here lately. I mean, we've had water everywhere, but a lot of rain flushing down into the system, changing things daily, water levels fluctuating, water clarity fluctuating. That's been the challenge for most of the anglers. They can kind of deal with water levels, but water clarity really pushes fish in different places, and not necessarily moving the fish themselves, but certainly allowing those fish to want to eat. You know, if they're bothered by gill irritation, things like that in the water, they just don't eat quite as much, and you can drop a bait right on their head, and they just won't open their mouths. There's been a lot of scrambling and things like that. 15 pounds, 2 ounces, what leads it right now. And Dan, you got to understand that that is a 4-fish limit here with one fish over 20 inches. You know, 15 pounds, you get one real nice, you know, 6.5, 7-pounder. Get some fish that we call unders, which are that 15 to under 20-inch range, and round out your bag there. You know, you still crook-crack 30 pounds for 8 fish. Not too shabby out here on the Mississippi.
Yeah, absolutely. And it calls for strategic fishing when you have to work with that slot limit.
Yeah, you know, not only the slot, but it's no call. So once you have that fish in the boat, you've made that choice to keep that fish now. And so it really throws a lot. And then you got the whole locking situation.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
You could have 40 pounds in your boat. It doesn't matter if you don't make it back on time.
Right.
And, you know, you choose to lock at your own risk. Obviously, we want you back safely. But if there's a barge in the lock, you may not make it back.
You're in trouble. Absolutely. Well, switch gears here. And your son, Robert, has been after a spring turkey. Have you had a chance to get him out? And has he had any luck?
Yeah, you know, in between tournaments, we just haven't had much of a chance. We have had tags on a couple of days. We had time to go. The weather was awful. We had some of the storms come through,
yep.
Terrible wind and all that, and we thought, now, all right, we're going to keep trying to push this down. We do have a tag here for this last period. We're going to try to squeak out over the Memorial Day weekend and see if we can't try to, you know, last minute bag that bird for him this year. Otherwise, I know he's already excited about continuing to try. And really, he's most excited about he gets to use his gun. He gets to come out with Dad. We're going to start practicing for ducks here this summer. He's ready to go.
That's great, and I hope he gets a bird, but if not, as you said, he's interested and he's really excited. And you mentioned this is the last turkey period. I'm still trying to get another bird with the Serpent Arms air gun. I actually had a tom come in close on Thursday morning, but he walked around me at about 30 yards in range for most guns, but there was a screen of brush, and I'm shooting 3/4 of an ounce of tungsten sixes, and I just didn't want to wound him or miss him, so I let him walk. I had 2 deer come closer, and, you know, if he'd been where they were, yeah, dead meat, but that's the way it goes.
Sure.
Well, my Lake of the Woods trip in September is sold out. So anyone thinking about joining me, if you haven't signed up, it's too late. But next year, we'll be doing it again, I think. And Danielle DeWitt up at Ballard's Black Island said she sold the last 2 spots to a father and son duo. The dad asked his son, who's 13 years old, if he could fish with anybody, who would it be? His first choice, Steve Ranella and the Meat Eater guys. But they're not available. Guess who was his second choice? Me.
Oh,
yeah. So anyway, we're going to have some fun with them and everybody else who's going to be there. Well, folks, coming up, outdoor writer Craig Mitchell reveals the little known history of the legendary jackalope. You've seen jackalopes, haven't you? At least on the wall somewhere.
Yeah. Yes, I have.
Yeah. And you can even ride one at Wall Drug.
That's right. I have a picture of myself on one.
All right. And Sheboygan Charter Captain Dumper Dan Welsh reports on coho action. He says it's still hot there on Lake Michigan. All that and more straight ahead on Outdoors Radio.
St. Croix's annual Customer Appreciation Day is Saturday, June 22nd, from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. in Park Falls, Wisconsin. Join us as we celebrate the anglers who have helped make St. Croix the best rods on earth. Experience how rods are crafted. See the 7 Reels tent. Learn to cast and get a free brat lunch, sponsored by Johnsonville. Attend seminars and gear up with one-day-only deals on rods, reels, and apparel. Learn more in person and online at stcroixrods.com.
For the nonprofit Ruffed Grouse Society, the well-being of the ruffed grouse and American woodcock is a special priority. But the Society's conservation work benefits more than just these two game birds. The organization's programs help a long list of other young forest wildlife, including songbirds that must have thick, brushy habitat to survive. For more information about forest wildlife habitat management, contact the Ruffed Grouse Society toll-free at 888-JOIN-RGS.
Here's a message from our friends at Remy Battery in Milwaukee, Waukesha, Escanaba, and Houghton. As we continue strong into almost 100 years of providing our community with high-quality batteries, we want to thank all of our customers and friends we have made over the years. We invite you to visit our newest location on Sunset Drive in Waukesha, formerly Challenger Battery. We have batteries from the largest military crafts and industrial machinery to alkalines and the smallest hearing aids. Big and small, we have them all. Stop in for a free battery and electrical check before you hit the road, trails, or the waters. Don't forget to ask our sales representatives about volume pricing. Call Remy at 414-384-0340 or visit online at remybattery.com for all your battery and battery accessory needs.
Enjoy the ultimate shooting experience at the Range of Richfield, your one-stop shop for all shooters. Just north of the Richfield Cabela's store on Helson Drive, the Range of Richfield offers 12 state-of-the-art 25-yard indoor shooting lanes for all pistol and common rifle loads, classes in home defense, basic handgun and concealed carry, a retail shop, trophy mount display, and more in a welcoming, family-friendly setting. Open daily except Monday to the public and members. Your ultimate shooting experience, therangewi.com.
Welcome back to your source for the latest hunting and fishing information, Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small. It's time for another Lake Michigan fishing report brought to you by Dumper Dan's Sport Fishing Charters, Condos, and Riverfront Store right there on South Pier Drive in Sheboygan. And on the web at DumperDan.com. And you'll find updates on his Facebook page, including a video and audio recording of every fishing report that we record with him for Outdoors Radio. And the Facebook page is Dumper Dan Sport Fishing Charters. And this week, it's also brought to you by Ranieri's Four of a Kind at 811 Indiana Avenue in Sheboygan. And on the web at Ranieri's four-of-a-kind bar and grill. Joining us once again is Captain Dumper Dan Welch. Well, Dan, welcome back. Thanks for joining us. And how's the fishing?
The fishing is outstanding, Dan, here out of the port of Sheboygan near the month of May. It's been the same for a few weeks now. It's just been nonstop coho salmon action. These fish have been anywhere from 4 to 8 pounds apiece, real chunky, nice eating-sized fish. Huge numbers of fish. A lot of private boat anglers were out the past couple weekends. The boat landings were full. They were parking trailers and vehicles on side roads and up and down the hill of Penn Avenue and all over the place trying to get their boats in the water on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday the past 2 weekends. And our charter boats have been out there every day, and it's just been awesome. I mean, really good coho bite, fast action, good-sized fish, great to eat.
Well, I would imagine if it's been that busy now that this is Memorial Weekend when this airs, it's even going to be busier.
I would think so, especially with a three-day weekend. You know, a lot of people start on maybe even Thursday, Friday, and go into Saturday, Sunday, Monday, depending on if they take some time off work. Yeah, it's going to be busy on the lake, and it'll continue to keep doing that here as we troll into June. We haven't really tried to go after any variety of other fish yet just because this bite is that good. I mean, Facebook everywhere is just booming with pictures of everybody catching these fish, and including mine at Dumper Dan Sport Fishing Charters. In fact, Dan, this last week, I was able to get Greg Jones and Dennis LaPelle here from Midwest Outdoors Television, and we filmed one morning in 2 hours. We figured we had 75 fish on, and we boated 35. We had 7 people on board, and we caught our limit, 5 each, which is 35, and we had over double that on. Greg thought maybe up to 90 fish on, but I think it was closer to 75-ish. But my God, I mean, 4, 5, 6 fish on at one time for 2 hours straight on television. I mean, the show is going to put you on the edge of your couch seat when we show it next winter, because it was just action-packed and a lot of fun.
Unbelievable. What do you think is going on? Are there more cohos? Are they hungry? Or are they just here now? What's going on?
Well, they planted more cohos than DNR did the last few years, so that's got a lot to do with it. But also, I mean, a few years ago, too, you know, we had some cold, windy, wet spring seasons, you know, like south of here, like, you know, Indiana, Illinois, where this all starts, like in March, April, May, and a lot of people couldn't get out and get these fish, and now they're a few years older, and they're a few pounds bigger, so there's a lot of them in the lake. Now, that being said, Dan, last year, our coho bite was awesome. It was very, very good. The whole month of May, out of a lot of ports here on the Wisconsin side, western shores, including Sheboygan, but this year it's just over the top, and we anticipate next year the month of May is going to be fantastic again. There's just that many fish in the lake. There's a lot of bait in the lake. 2 to 3 years ago, into 4 years ago, we couldn't get to them as much with the cold, wet, windy spring seasons we had, and now we finally got some good weather, so everybody can get out there and just cash in on these coho salmon.
All right, and Dan, are you getting them north of town, south of town? How deep? Where are they?
We've been fishing basically straight out south of town, anywhere from 30 feet of water out to about 100. Straight out south of town, anywhere from the Sheboygan Harbor to as far as Oostburg. But I know of some boats this past weekend that went north and caught them in like 100 to 120 foot north of town. So they're spread out all over. I mean, there's pods of bait fish out there, and as you troll into this bait, you know, there'd be big schools of coho in them. But we've been a little closer to shore. It doesn't really pay to venture out any farther than you have to. You don't want to overshoot them. So we've been a little bit closer to shore, about a half mile to a mile out, and catching them nonstop here every day here at Dumper Dams.
Is there any action on the piers if they're close to shore?
Good question. There is a little bit, especially when we're fishing the gap area, which a lot of my boats have been fishing the gap, you know, out a quarter to half mile beyond that, just out to 50, 60, 80 feet of water. But as we troll in front of the harbor, yes, there has been anglers on the end of the north and south pier reeling in coho as well, because the fish are right there. So yeah, there's shoreline activity on salmon. A lot of private boat anglers out, like I mentioned, with the boat landings being over full and the fish cleaning stations being packed with the anglers cleaning their catch. So a lot of people with walleye boats, salmon boats, what have you, getting out on the lake catching these fish. And that's what's unique about this style of fishing in spring here, the month of May, is they're close to shore. So they're pretty easy to get to, and you don't have to venture out too far, like maybe during the summer months, like we have to do for other trout and salmon. So get out there and and get some of these fish on the grill and get them in the freezer while they're here to be had.
All right. Well, Dan, do you have openings now? And June is coming up here. What does your booking look like?
Well, everybody's grabbing June dates. Phone's been ringing for a couple months straight. We do have openings in June yet. I have some mornings open, a few afternoons open yet. I mean, that being said, we have over 300 bookings already just in the month of June, but I do have openings. If you pick a day that we are filled, I can definitely get you on with somebody else. I have a few others that I farm out to that are good charter fishing friends of mine that park next to me. Definitely get to me sooner than later, and let's get you on the lake here the later part of May, Memorial Day weekend, and all of June into July. Best way is my number. Dumper Dan's 920-377-1147 or dumperdan.com. You can send me an email with questions, and definitely check out our Facebook page here every day at Dumper Dan Sport Fishing Charters. But get a hold of me. We'll get you out here, and we'll get you on the lake.
All right. Well, Dan, your second sponsor this week is Ranieri's Four of a Kind, a familiar sponsor. They've been with you for quite a while. They are just around the corner on Indiana Avenue, right?
Yeah, they're walking distance from all my condos. I have a bunch of condos on the riverfront on South Pier Drive where our clients lodge that want to stay overnight, so you can walk right from your condo door to Ranieri's Four of a Kind. Is about a two-block walk right along the Sheboygan River, or drive there, either way. But great food there. They have pool tables, dart boards, jukebox, and entertainment. Weekends, they do have some live entertainment, and their food is just fantastic. Good fish fry, good steak sandwiches, roasted chicken is out of this world. Definitely check it out. They're right on the 8th Street Circle, right by the bridge, two blocks from Dumper Dan's.
And they have specials every day. Their Facebook page lists all that, including an all-you-can-eat fish fry on Friday.
Correct. Yep. Very good.
All right. Well, Dan, we're going to let you go because you're busy out there with all those fish coming in and with the bookings. So you have a great rest of May and Memorial weekend, and we will catch up with you in a couple weeks.
You got it. We'll be on the water. Thanks a lot, and get you another report soon.
All right. Dumper Dan Welch with the Lake Michigan Sheboygan Area Fishing Report. As you heard, the cohos are snapping now, so check him out. Check him out online at dumperdan.com or on Facebook, Dumper Dan's Sport Fishing Charters. And he's got condos and a store right there as well. And check out Ranieri's Four of a Kind, a great place for lunch after fishing or before fishing. I'm Dan Small. More Outdoors Radio right after this.
Listen to More Outdoors Radio online at dansmalloutdoors.com. Welcome back to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small. If you've spent any time in taverns out west, chances are you've seen the legendary jackalope. It's a jackrabbit with horns or antlers. You won't encounter one in the wild, or aren't likely to, but look on the walls of bars or sporting goods stores and you'll find the occasional mounted specimen. What's with this critter? Is it real? Or is it something somebody dreamed up after a fruitless hunt or a night of hard drinking? Well, joining me now to shed some light on this mythical beast is Craig Mitchell of Brampton, Ontario. Craig is a kindergarten teacher, as I just learned, and an outdoor writer. And his article in the current issue of Hook and Barrel magazine is called Jackalope Origin Story. Craig, thanks so much for joining us, and welcome to the Outdoors Radio Network.
Well, thank you so much. It's a real honor to be here.
When and where did you first discover jackalopes?
That is a great question, and I've been kind of scratching my head to come up with an answer to that. They're one of those really unique creatures that once you see one, you don't really forget it. It's such a unique, you know, mythical creature, an amalgamation of different taxidermy, and it's a head scratcher if you're not familiar with them. So to answer your question, I'm not exactly sure, but I know it's one of those things that once you lay eyes on them, you kind of keep seeing them everywhere you go. It could be, like you mentioned before, above a saloon or a bar, which is a common place to find them, hotels, entertainment complexes, even some man caves and personal basements. I've seen them hung up proudly on the wall. They are just one of those things where you seem to come across them more and more as you become more
You know, I think I was aware of them, but my son and I did our first and only real serious Western hunt back in 87, about the same year you talk about in Hook and Barrel. And we shot two nice antelope in Montana, and we stopped in a town in western South Dakota to have the heads mounted. And there on the wall, of course, were several jackalopes. And my son, who was 12 at the time, wanted to take one home, and I didn't let him. But that was our first serious encounter with one. And, of course, we saw them on the wall in Wall Drug in Wall, South Dakota, which is, you know, another place that one could visit and discover all kinds of crazy things.
Now that you've just jogged my memory, I think the first one I ever came across was in grade 10, which would have been many, 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 many moons ago, at the Smithsonian, of all places.
Oh.
We were there for a class trip. They have an example up on the wall. If memory serves me correct, it was kind of highlighting not only the Americana history, but the connection to the HPV or the papillomavirus. We can get into that as well, but that's what kind of makes the jackalope such a neat creature. Is it's kind of one left leg in mythology, one right leg in the hunting lore in Americana culture, and there's all one to two paws, if you want to call it that, dipped into a little bit of medical history, because they were linked to these interesting growths that scientists had kind of documented over hundreds of years, but no one had kind of really paid any attention to. And it wasn't until scientists had kind of heard about this taxidermy jackalope that they were able to go back and start researching and analyzing some of these old historical accounts of rabbits with horns. And once they kind of dug a little deeper, they actually found some taxidermied examples where seemingly healthy rabbits were, you know, littered with these odd little growths, and some of them did resemble horns. After a little bit of research, and I shouldn't say a little, I don't want to besmirch all of their efforts, it was probably a great deal of effort, but they were able to draw a connection between those growths and the HPV, or the human papillomavirus, which is now, thankfully, a treatable cancer in humans. So you can chalk it up. If it wasn't for this piece of Americana, the jackalope, we might not have a cure, or at least a treatment, for the HPV virus, which is something that has stricken thousands of Americans and people across the world. So it's a really neat little side piece of jackalope history.
That's an amazing story. So this virus that occasionally shows up in jackrabbits, does it show up in other animals as well?
I wouldn't begin to claim to be a medical history expert, but to my understanding, it was primarily found in rabbits, both jackrabbits and cottontails. There were examples and documented accounts, and now when we're going back hundreds and even a thousand years, they were primarily paintings and drawings that depicted these interesting creatures. And just like we found in North America with our indigenous people, a lot of these sometimes unique creatures find their way into lore. And so there are stories around the world of horned rabbits, but they obviously don't quite fall into the same story as the one that the Herrick brothers created back in the 1930s.
Okay, now let's talk about the brothers and their creation and the origin of the mounted jackalope. How'd that all happen?
Okay. Well, this story really kind of resonates with me because I grew up with two brothers, and we seem to find ourselves into anything and everything that might make my mother squirm. So whether it was, you know, the mouse or the snake or the reptiles that the neighborhood cat brought home, we were always into something. And when I heard about the Herrick brothers story, I couldn't help but think of my brothers and how we would probably, if given the chance, we would have done something similar. But essentially, during the Depression, the two brothers had found themselves with a few shells in their pocket and a .22 rifle, and they went out on the plains in search of a meal to bring home. Now, we've heard many different variations of the story, but what I have been told was that they didn't really have a game plan. Beggars can't be choosers, and they were hungry. So they went out with the idea that whatever crossed their path, if it was legal, if it could be put in the pot, they were coming home with it. So they went out, they came across a rabbit, they took their shot, they came home with their bounty, all happy as can be, ready to show mom and dad. And as they entered their basement to clean and get the rabbit ready for the pot, they had skinned it out and kind of haphazardly thrown the discarded remains on the floor. looked over. And it just coincidentally, it just happened that the rabbit fur and head landed very fortuitously right beneath a small set of deer antlers from a rack that the boys had shot a deer the day before.
Huh.
So I guess they weren't the cleanest of brothers because they still had all kinds of farts hanging around.
Yeah.
But what it did do is they both happened to look over and see the rabbit fur and the antlers right above it. And it was like a light bulb went off. They both had this idea that we have to do something with this. We have to taxidermy it.
Yeah.
And they had spent a little bit of time on their own, as a kind of a hobby of theirs, a little very rudimentary taxidermy. But they thought this was going to be their piece de resistance. This was what they had been practicing for. And that's what they did. They got to work, and they created what has become known as the world's first taxidermy jackalope. There's been two different variations. A lot of people have them sporting antelope horns, but most commonly they are deer antlers just because they're easier to come by, just like it was in the original case.
Wow, what a great story. And, you know, your history and your story of you and your two brothers, I grew up with two brothers also, and we got into all kinds of trouble, mostly good trouble, mostly with wildlife like you. We had a collection of snakes in our garage, and my dad built the boxes, the cages that we kept them in, and our maternal grandmother would never come to the house because of the snakes there. That's an aside. So now the mounted jackalope that they create, they sell it to somebody for $10, right?
Yeah, which at that time period, I mean, not only did these boys have a ton of fun going out to get a rabbit, so they've been successful on the hunt. They've come back and had this brilliant idea to come up with a mythical creature of their own creation, and now they've had the brilliant idea and successfully sold it to a local tavern and hotel owner for $10, which would have been a huge sum. So not only do they still have the rabbit for the pot, but now they've got a couple of bucks in their pocket to help with mom and dad. So these guys had really hit a home run, and like you said, they sold it for $10. They sold it to the local hotelier, and he put it proudly on display. So anyone who happened to come through town, for whatever reason, they couldn't help but be introduced to this jackalope. And of course, in fact, this is well before anything could have gone viral or any references on the internet or anything like that. But you can imagine that this little creature went as viral as it could for the time. And soon word of mouth began to spread. People began to flock to the hotel just to see this little mythical creature that the boys had created. And before long, they realized that they had a business opportunity on their hands, and they went back to their basement, and with a fresh batch of pelts and horns, they began creating more and more of these to be sold at the hotel. And by all intents and purposes, it sounds like it was a huge, huge success.
Craig, we've got to take a break here. Will you stick with us and talk a little bit more about jackalopes? I'd like to talk about the connection with Hook and Barrel magazine now. Can you stay with us?
I'd be happy to.
All right, folks, I'm talking with Craig Mitchell, outdoor writer and kindergarten teacher, and we'll get to that as well, about jackalopes. I'll be right back with more with Craig Mitchell. I'm Dan Small. You are listening to Outdoors Radio.
Castle Rock and Peatonwell are two of Wisconsin's largest inland lakes. With more than 60 square miles of water, they offer four seasons of outdoor fun. Halfway between the Twin Cities and Chicago, and just minutes from Wisconsin Rapids and the Dells, you'll enjoy family-friendly resorts and campgrounds, great fishing, bike trails, county, state, and national parks, and the Nisida National Wildlife Refuge. Learn more at castlerock-peatonwell.com or on Facebook at Castle Rock Peatonwell Lakes Association.
Are you putting off treating your hearing loss for you or a loved one because you can't afford it? Hi, I'm Dr. Laura Venipal from Professional Hearing Care, and I'm telling you that you couldn't be further away from the truth. I believe that everyone should have access to hearing health care and improve cognitive health, and that's why we offer our affordable treatment plan. Our team is dedicated to taking the stigma and cost of hearing loss out of the picture. For a free consultation, call 608-292-4916 or visit our website at www.profhearingcare.com.
Enjoy the ultimate shooting experience at the Range of Richfield, your one-stop shop for all shooters. Just north of the Richfield Cabela's store on Helson Drive, the Range of Richfield offers 12 state-of-the-art 25-yard indoor shooting lanes for all pistol and common rifle loads, classes in home defense, basic handgun and concealed carry, a retail shop, trophy mount display, and more in a welcoming, family-friendly setting. Open daily except Monday to the public and members. Your ultimate shooting experience, therangewi.com.
For the nonprofit Ruffed Grouse Society, the well-being of the ruffed grouse and American woodcock is a special priority. But the Society's conservation work benefits more than just these two game birds. The organization's programs help a long list of other young forest wildlife, including songbirds that must have thick, brushy habitat to survive. For more information about forest wildlife habitat management, contact the Ruffed Grouse Society toll-free at 888-JOIN-RGS.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
CBS News Brief. The families of Davy and Natalie Lloyd, American missionaries murdered in Haiti, are mourning their loss. Davy's father, David.
We never imagined what could happen.
Gang members ambushed and killed the couple along with a local man as they were leaving a church youth event. The State Department advising all U.S. citizens in Haiti to leave. A Pennsylvania man stuck in Turks and Caicos after he was found with ammunition in his bag is finally back home. The judge gave him a suspended sentence and slapped him with a fine, and he's thankful.
My biggest concern is coaching my kids' baseball game, and that is such a relief.
Pressure is mounting for ceasefire talks to resume in Gaza to stop the fighting and get hostages released.
Reuven Jablonka is the father of Hanan. The Israeli leadership needs to stop arguing, he said. We must bring everyone back home.
That's CBS's Imtiaz Tayyab in Jerusalem. CBS News Brief. I'm Stacy Lynn.
Matt Mayer on air.
Dr. Karen Tamarius, she's a political psychiatrist, and we're talking about how to talk to people with which we do not agree.
Think of the mind as a rider on an elephant. The conscious part is the rider, and the emotional part is the elephant. If you want the person to change their mind, you need to talk with the elephant, not the rider.
Matt Mayer on air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Today, sunshine, low 70s, and a bit breezy out of the west. Mostly cloudy tonight, a low around 51. Showers on Sunday, could be some heavy rain with highs in the mid-60s. It'll be blustery. For Sunday night, showers in 49. For Memorial Day, partly sunny and a high of 67.
Right now, it's 44.
Hey, everybody. Glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, home for the Devil's Advocates.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. The Army National Guard has taught me the value of showing respect to those I come in contact with each day. My service also allows me to be there for my community in ways others can't. I help my hometown recover after nature strikes. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country and those I care about safe from threats. I also work with a network of professionals that help me succeed and accomplish the mission. Plus, the Army National Guard education benefits make getting a higher education a reality. Being an Army National Guard soldier makes living and serving in my community more rewarding every day. Learn how you, too, can live and serve part-time, close to home, by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Locally grown radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Welcome back to your source for the latest hunting and fishing information, Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small. Folks, I'm talking with Craig Mitchell. He is an outdoor writer and a kindergarten teacher from Brampton, Ontario, and he has written an article that's in the current issue of Hook and Barrel magazine entitled Jackalope Origin Story, and we just got done talking about how the Herrick brothers created the first mounted jackalope and then turned that into a business opportunity. Craig, did they run with that for quite a while, or did that just peter out? What happened to that original jackalope and their follow-up of more of the critters?
To my knowledge, it was something that they maintained for quite a while. I think there was such a draw, and I think the proof is in the pudding. Literally, when you look around the globe, for such a unique little creature to have such a global impact is just remarkable. Now, I was kind of scratching my head and laughing because before joining on for this interview, I was just doing a little bit more research on the jackalope, just something I can't get enough about. And I was just flabbergasted because there are references all over the world, and not necessarily for a taxidermy jackalope just like the boys made in the 1930s, but it's become so much more than that. It's kind of a symbol for comedic, almost kind of silliness. It's almost kind of a tongue-in-cheek euphemism for having the wool pulled over your eyes. I found there's an extreme sports festival called the Jackalope that I came across just this morning. I mentioned that there's even in the Smithsonian, one of the most prestigious museums in the whole world, even have an example of the jackalope. And I just think that's such a neat, neat thing. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, I believe there's even a president who had one above his wall, and there was a famous photo where he was trying to convince Colin Powell that it was a real creature. Huh. But of course, Colin Powell was too smart. He didn't have the wool pulled over his eyes for that one.
Yeah.
But I thought, if it's reached the highest echelons of U.S. culture, class, and politics, I mean, it really is ingrained in Americana.
It certainly sounds like it. Now, is there any connection between the jackalope and the unicorn that you've run across?
The unicorn? Well, generally speaking, I think they kind of inhabit that same mythical space. I think it's kind of a logical extension to think that those examples of the papilloma virus that I mentioned before that can have these horn-like growths, I think that is a really logical connection to make between what was entirely fictitious in the jackalope and something, well, of course, we know the unicorns aren't real either, but there was a grain of truth to it. You can see how something as big as the unicorn, which is just ingrained in children's culture everywhere, where someone would have had the idea. So I can't for certain say that a jackalope is connected to a unicorn because of those similar looking growths, but I think it's fair to say that the ideas for each could have been found in the papillomavirus or those unique growths that have been found on certain animal or rabbit's head.
Have you ever seen a one-horned jackalope, a jack-a-unicornalope, or whatever they might call it?
Because if a two-horned jackalope is worth a fortune, I can only imagine what that would be worth.
Yeah. Well, the jackalope is sort of the mascot of Hook and Barrel magazine. What's that all about?
Oh, I think it's a great way to showcase how ingrained and how Hook and Barrel tries to keep their finger on the pulse of American culture and Americana style, history, and culture. In fact, they've got some really, really neat merchandise and t-shirts that feature the jackalope logo. And I think it's become synonymous with Americana, and I think the goal for Hook and Barrel is to do the same. We're really lucky, and I'm quite proud and privileged to have been given this chance to be featured, even just in a small way, on Hook and Barrel. I'm proud that I get to bring this wonderful story, hopefully expose it to a few new people, and maybe there's someone out there that wasn't sure about what a jackalope is, and maybe they're better versed now.
And now they know, yeah. Now, Hook and Barrel has a little game that they play with the jackalope, don't they? They hide it somewhere, and you have to find it?
Yes, it's kind of like an Easter egg. Sometimes directors and producers, when they're doing, this is dating myself a little bit, but back when they had DVDs and VHS and all that fun stuff, they used to put these little Easter eggs, they'd call them. And so you'd have to look for these clues, and, you know, it helped keep people engaged. And it was kind of like a little inside joke between the creators and the audience members. And I think that's what Hook and Barrel is trying to do as well. It gives people a chance to keep their eyes peeled for the little jackalope. And I believe there are frequently contests associated with that. If you're able to identify or properly inform the Hook and Barrel crew where you saw it or when, then I think there is often some prizes or maybe some savings to be had.
Yeah, and folks, if you wonder what the heck we're talking about, besides jackalope, Hook and Barrel magazine is this unique publication, about as unique as a jackalope, I think. When I met the publisher and owner, John Radzwilla, at an Outdoor Writers Association of America conference years ago, he said, I'm trying to create a magazine that's kind of a blend between Field and Stream and GQ. And I think he's done it. It's got a pretty large circulation, and the origin story of that magazine is interesting too. We won't go into that here. I may get John on sometime to talk about how he got started. Folks, hookandbarrel.com is where you can find more information on the magazine and jackalopes. Craig, do you have a jackalope?
I don't. My wife the other day said, well, now you know what. Now she knows what to get me for Christmas. but in fact, I've mentally picked out a spot above the mantle. Whether or not I get my wife's permission for it is another story, but it is on my list of things to acquire.
All right. Well, before we let you go, I mentioned that you are a kindergarten teacher, and you told me an outdoor ed teacher for kindergarten students. Talk about that.
I'm really lucky that I get to kind of combine my passions for the outside and outdoor pursuit with teaching. I've grown up at summer camps. That's kind of where I was introduced to the outdoors and introduced to working with children. And it's just allowed me to marry my two passions together. And I work currently in an inner city school, which is a very high percentage of new Canadians and people that have come from a lot of different countries, often war-torn. So they're coming with a whole bunch of different and unique experiences. And they might not have had a chance to spend a lot of time outside. So that's where I come in. And I get the awesome job of encouraging and introducing them to outdoor activities, outdoor creatures. We might take a gray or a black squirrel for granted because we see them all the time. But if you've come from Syria or Afghanistan or even certain countries in South America or Africa, the wildlife and flora and fauna is completely different. And so just to see them light up at something that I take sometimes admittedly for granted, like a squirrel, a caterpillar, it's just amazing. And better yet, when I then get to see those little boys and girls going around and sharing what they've learned with their families, that's even better because it's like winning over two generations in one go. So I am very proud. I think it's an amazing opportunity, and it's so, so important to get everyone outside. And if we can get everyone to respect and appreciate the great outdoors, I think the world will be a much better place.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. And as you say, it is an important job. I think you're doing a heroic job because the current generation of young people coming of age now, they've grown up with computers and phones, and most of them don't know the outdoors. They don't know much about...
They can identify a black bear on a tablet, but, you know, if you see one out your car window, it would be, you know, the end of the world probably. But you're absolutely right. Technology is playing a bigger and bigger role, and it's important to set aside space, literally and figuratively, for the outside and the outside world.
Well, I'm glad that you're doing that, and you seem to be reveling in it, enjoying your work, which is a key to having a successful career. And gosh, it's been fun talking with you. I think you need that jackalope. It would make a great show and tell item for your kindergarten students, wouldn't it?
You know what? I hadn't even thought of that. I was thinking more selfishly of showcasing at home, but I think I might win over a few more hearts and minds if I had that proudly behind my teacher's desk. So that's a great one. Great idea.
And you can talk about mythology and do all kinds of wonderful things with young students.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Oh, yeah, decorate it for the holidays. It could be a blast.
Yeah, it could be Rudolph the Red-Nosed Jackalope for Christmas. Lots of things you can do.
Yeah, absolutely. That sounds perfect.
Well, Craig, thank you so much for sharing your passion about the outdoors and your knowledge of the jackalope. And for folks who had no clue what we're talking about, we will send them to the hookandbarrel.com website, and they can see pictures of jackalopes, and maybe they'll subscribe to the magazine. So thanks so much, and carry on.
Well, Dan, thank you so much for having me. And if you don't mind, if anyone is interested in reading in any of my other pieces, you can find me on Instagram most frequently at Craig the Tripper. So if you'd like to follow along, I'm hoping to have a couple more pieces out in the next month or two, and I think your readers might enjoy.
Sounds good. At Craig the Tripper on Instagram.
That's it. Thank you so much, Dan. I really appreciate you having me.
Thank you. I've been talking with Craig Mitchell, outdoor writer and kindergarten teacher from Brampton, Ontario. Again, his Instagram site is at Craig the Tripper, and you can learn about Hook and Barrel magazine at hookandbarrel.com. I'm Dan Small. You are listening to Outdoors Radio.
St. Croix's annual Customer Appreciation Day is Saturday, June 22nd, from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. in Park Falls, Wisconsin. Join us as we celebrate the anglers who have helped make St. Croix the best rods on earth. Experience how rods are crafted. See the Seven Reels tent. Learn to cast and get a free brat lunch, sponsored by Johnsonville. Attend seminars and gear up with one-day-only deals on rods, reels, and apparel. Learn more in person and online at stcroixrods.com.
Are you putting off treating your hearing loss for you or a loved one because you can't afford it? Hi, I'm Dr. Laura Venipal from Professional Hearing Care, and I'm telling you that you couldn't be further away from the truth. I believe that everyone should have access to hearing health care and improve cognitive health, and that's why we offer our affordable treatment plan. Our team is dedicated to taking the stigma and cost of hearing loss out of the picture. For a free consultation, call 608-292-4916 or visit our website at www.profhearingcare.com.
Castle Rock and Peatonwell are two of Wisconsin's largest inland lakes. With more than 60 square miles of water, they offer four seasons of outdoor fun. Halfway between the Twin Cities and Chicago, and just minutes from Wisconsin Rapids and the Dells, you'll enjoy family-friendly resorts and campgrounds, great fishing, bike trails, county, state, and national parks, and the Nisida National Wildlife Refuge. Learn more at CastleRock-Peatonwell.com or on Facebook at Castle Rock Peatonwell Lakes Association.
If your rifle, shotgun, handgun, or muzzleloader needs work this season, call Roger Williams at Northern Magnetic LLC. A licensed professional gunsmith for over 35 years, Roger can repair, customize, rebarrel, install sights and scope mounts, and more on all firearms makes and models. When you need a professional gunsmith, call Roger at 262-339-1798 or visit fixguns.com. That's 262-339-1798 or fixguns.com.
The Midwest's largest fishing website, lake-link.com, is your online fishing resource. 90% of Lake Link's features are yours to use free of charge. And members get access to Lake Link's online lake map library, lets you get GPS coordinates of any spot on the lake, and export waypoints to your onboard electronics. Members also get free outdoor classified ads, discounts on online store merchandise, and a whole lot more. You can also listen to Outdoors Radio 24/7 on Lake Link. Listen to this week's show, catch any of our past shows, subscribe to our podcast, or even sign up for our weekly e-newsletter so you'll know in advance what's coming up right here. Just type in the keyword radio. See what you've been missing. Log on to lake-link.com today. That's lake-link.com.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Outdoors Radio. I'm Jeff Bell. We're brought to you by Cedar Lake Sales on Highway 33 West in West Bend on the web at cedarlakesales.com. And they have more than 45 fishing boats from Crestliner, Yarcraft, and Camus on display. And spring saving promotions are going on now. Check out their website for details. We're also brought to you by Professional. Hearing Care LLC of Mauston, La Crosse, Westby, and Fitchburg, profhearingcare.com, and by the Castle Rock Petenwell Lakes Association, 60 square miles of fun on the water, castlerock-petenwell.com.
And if our TV show Outdoor Wisconsin is not airing where you happen to live, you can always watch past episodes at milwaukeepbs.org. And the last several years of the Deer Hunt Wisconsin show are archived on the Deer Hunt Wisconsin TV YouTube channel. And by the way, Jeff, about a week ago, I've lost track of the days too, I went to the Wisconsin Community Media Association annual conference. It was in Eau Claire, and we got an award of excellence for the deer show and also one for the turkey show that Dave Roll and I did for the Wisconsin chapter of the National Wild Turkey Federation.
Very cool.
Yeah, those shows just keep winning awards, which is fine with me. It was a good time.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, if you missed anything on the radio show, you can check it out online all the time. Go to lake-link.com. And check out the Outdoor Radio page. You can also find the show on OutdoorNews.com. Go to OutdoorNews.com/podcast. Find it there. Dan's on social media at Dan Small Outdoors. You can find me at Hardwater Jeff.
And the Northern Zone muskie season opens this weekend. But, you know, Jeff, I don't think there's a muskie angler in the state who doesn't know that.
Probably.
Yeah.
That's probably.
Yeah, but in different places, the opener is obviously at a different time. It's June 1st on the lower Menominee River. That's below the Hattie Street Dam in Marinette. And several more waters now have a 50-inch size limit. And Green Bay and the Tribs have a 54-inch size limit. I can't imagine keeping a fish that size. But big secret, they are good eating.
And yeah. You know what? Every time I talk to a muskie guide, they always will admit to the fact that they do taste good.
Yeah, well, good. Yeah, and I've said this before on the show. I used to joke with Pete Mayna, what's your favorite muskie recipe? Well, folks, if you want to eat one, look for a lake with a 28-inch minimum size limit. There's a few of them up north. Check the regs. And if you visit a state park or trail this weekend and haven't bought your park or trail sticker yet, you can do it online to avoid the lines at park entrances. Your Go Wild account has information, or you can go to the DNR website for details. Our theme music is by Warren Nelson. His next show is June 16th at Big Top Chautauqua. He and friends will perform Riding the Wind. Warren calls that the show that built the tent, and it's a free matinee starting at 1 p.m. For more on Warren and his music, visit warrennelson.com. And for Big Top Chautauqua shows, visit bigtop.org. I'm Dan Small, here with Jeff Kelm, remote from Red Wing this week. Get outside for a safe and memorable Memorial weekend, and join us again next week for Outdoors Radio. Jeff, travel safely. We'll see you next week.
Sounds good, Dan. Thank you.
When my wrist gets a little chilly on the gunwale, when my lazy Ike is just too lazy to lure, when the worms go dry in the coffee can, honey, I'll be trolling home to you.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Are you ready to start a meaningful career in healthcare? Are you looking for a job that fits your work-life balance? Become a certified direct care professional today and make life better for older adults or people with a disability. WISC Caregiver Careers makes it easy with free online training plus earn a $500 bonus. See your name on Wisconsin's Certified Direct Care Registry. Sign up today at WISCCaregiverCDCP.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed. keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. This is Locally Grown Radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.